This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know, hear from the experts, authors, and others, and hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, where do SoCal beaches rank on the list of the best U.S. beaches? We'll tell you. Plus, rules for business attire when it's hot and sweaty outside. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is in the newsroom.
Oh, you saw it blasting into the air yesterday. All that water in Westwood. Poof! We got some stats for you.
Ooh, and posting away on the internet right now, here's Jay Campadonia.
Today, I asked the question, has social media jumped the shark? I've got an example that might make you lead to say yes.
And on a steel horse he rides, here is Chris Martin.
Phil, you know how we always talk about bringing a pro football team back here to Los Angeles?
Yes.
Well, the Buffalo Bills are on the market, and Bills fans are looking to take down the potential owner, dead or alive.
Oh, very nice.
See where we're going, Jen?
I see what you did there. Yeah.
Hey, you guys, did you guys hear? It's exciting news today. California has a gay governor.
Oh, wow.
We do.
Did you hear about that? Jen, remember
that
story?
Oh, for the day.
Correct. Remember, right. You did the chain of command, Gavin Newsom, then Steinberg.
Yeah.
Steinberg had to be.
Jill Steinberg, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Assembly Speaker Tony Atkins is the acting governor of California until Jerry Brown gets back from his business trip in Mexico.
Later this afternoon.
She is openly gay.
And we have a gay governor for a few hours.
We have a gay governor.
Setting an example for the rest of the states.
That's what you want to call
it? At least a few hours a day.
Some sort of example, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it is an example.
Right, 6 hours, yeah.
What are we saying?
You'd expect California to be the leader on that front.
I think you would, yeah.
She tweeted out a picture today of her walking her dogs and says, as my first responsibility is as acting governor, I want to make sure that the first dogs take their first walk.
Well, for the LGBT community, it's a proud day. It's a proud day, right?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. All right.
You know, you got it. You take what you can get, you know? It's just 6 hours or part of a day. You're going to appreciate it.
There you go. And we appreciate it. We appreciate the work you do as well, Jennifer. In fact, you've compiled a whole bunch of ugly stats with all that water geysering out at UCLA. And what a shame about Pauley Pavilion, huh?
I know. You know, that Pauley Pavilion, here is statistic number one. Underwent a $132 million renovation just a couple of years ago. So, yeah, what a bummer. And all that water, 8 to 10 million gallons of water down the tubes, a lot of it into Pauley Pavilion, which is double whammy. And also in those two parking garages, 730 cars submerged.
Wow.
That's a lot of cars.
Even the oversized SUVs that the professors drive. No, they're all driving
the little Priuses.
Yeah, Priuses and Nissan Leafs, right?
Yeah.
Smart cars.
Yeah, smart
cars.
What
a bummer, huh?
No, it is, really. It's a shame. Now, you could get lucky, or you could really be lucky, like this guy you have a story about.
Yeah, what's the most you've ever won with one of those scratchers?
$12.
You know, the lottery scratchers?
$12.
You won 12 bucks? I've only ever won like a buck, maybe $2.
Yeah.
This guy in Indianapolis, he won $1 million from a scratch-off ticket at a convenience store in April. And guess what? He did it again.
What? That's not fair.
Another $1 million last week.
Did he buy a million tickets with the first winning?
No, it doesn't say, but you've got to figure it's a numbers game in more ways than one. So, you know, in April, he was away on a business trip. He bought this one ticket and then he bought this other ticket. I'm sure he buys tickets all the time, but he says he used his first prize money to pay off debts, probably all his lottery debts from the past, buy a house.
$1 million worth of lottery debts.
Right. Well, now it's just fun money. The second million, it's just fun money. So he's buying a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Now, here's a statistic that'll blow your mind. The lottery says Hamilton's tickets are among 8 top prizes for its big cash spectacular scratch-off game. So out of the 8, he wins 2. And officials with the lottery there in Indiana say the odds of winning one of those top prizes from the game are 1 in 2.1 million. Odds of winning it twice, make my head explode. I can't even figure it out. But
wow.
Imagine the guy's luck.
No, that's amazing. It really is. I'm going to go get a scratcher.
I wonder if it was at the same liquor store. He went back to the same one.
No, yeah. It was two different. It was two different cities. He was on a business trip for the first one, and then he was home for the second
now,
one. So,
what are the
you know,
odds?
He spread it out a little bit. But
yeah, now the odds are
still
just spectacular. Mind boggling.
I don't know.
You have an update on a story you brought us some weeks ago about a scary, evil pig that was stalking school children.
Right. The pig that was scaring everybody, it was happening in Maine. The thing is 80 pounds, black and white spotted. It's a domestic pig that was chasing kids and adults, by the way, on a walking trail in Maine. The 3 weeks of freedom are now over. Officials closed the trail after that pig scared those two kids walking on it between the middle and high schools, the story we were talking about a few weeks ago. After that happened, the pig chased a high school student and attacked a woman. Now they're saying, okay, it's a four-month-old pig. They caught him yesterday. Animal control and an expert from the U.S. Department of Agriculture tracked him, baited him, and captured him. No word on if he's bacon.
Oh.
4 months old? How big can a pig be at four months old?
Well, you know, it's a pig.
If it 80 pounds, apparently.
A pig attacks you and starts making that squealing noise. I mean, that's like a violent horror movie, isn't it?
Turn and run.
Yeah.
Hey, well, Jay, Campadonia, has social media jumped the shark?
It has, at least in my opinion. Here's the deal. Some brainiac up in Canada, in Saskatchewan, he's some software developer, and he's kind of interested in this chick in the office. So what he does is he develops a Facebook app where it's basically like a game that you play inside of Facebook, and it's a scavenger hunt, and the woman originally declines.
Oh.
So he went over there and starts talking to her. Hey, look, come on. I'm trying to build this thing. Let's do this. So it turns out to be this giant scavenger hunt through Facebook. You got to find all these clues within the Facebook app or on the website, right?
Yep.
Turns out he was asking her to marry him.
On Facebook?
On Facebook.
How romantic.
Not.
Here's the kicker. She originally said no.
Yeah.
Tried it again. She says no again.
Uh-huh.
Tries it for the third time and shows up, and I'm not kidding, and Jen, you will appreciate this, with a Vera Wang wedding ring. Or something to that effect?
Wow. I didn't know Vera Wang designed wedding rings.
Evidently she does.
Neither did I.
And the woman says yes.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she gave him a restraining order.
I don't know who's I don't know who's more shallow now.
Right?
The guy proposes on Facebook or she says yes because of the Vera Wang?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all about
they're
using
perfect for each other.
Yeah, I'm all about using your skills to get ahead in life. But I mean, through Facebook, guy, come on, buddy.
Does go to show you that perseverance pays off.
I guess.
You know
keep
what?
Trying.
We haven't had a football team in Los Angeles for more than a decade, maybe two decades. I don't even remember now. I've lost count. I left the NFL. I don't even follow football anymore because we don't have a team in Los Angeles. What's the point? Am I going to follow a team in another city?
Yeah.
I don't live there.
Okay.
I'm not going to fly to Green Bay to watch a game with my shirt off, 20 below. What's the point of that?
You should try it. It's fun.
Oh, yeah?
Trust me.
All right. We don't even have a team. But a little town like Buffalo, a little two-horse town in upstate New York, has a football team. And they will fight tooth and nail to keep it, won't they, Chris?
They will. Yeah, they have a football team of legend. Let's not forget the Bills went to back-to-back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls. Of course, they didn't win any of them, but Bon Jovi is a part of a potential NFL ownership group, and they're looking to buy the Buffalo Bills.
The band or John Bon Jovi?
John Bon Jovi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Part of the group. The group, not the group Bon Jovi, but Bon Jovi's part of a group that wants to buy. Okay.
That's right. A potential owner.
I'm just making notes here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a pie chart, a spreadsheet. Okay, I'm on board. Go ahead.
Well, here's where fans are upset because John Bon Jovi and his ownership group are looking for sites outside of Buffalo for the new stadium. They're not looking at L.A., though. They're actually looking at sites in Canada. Apparently, a large constituency of the ownership group is Canadian. So they're looking at spots in places like Ontario and Toronto. Well, now a bunch of the hardcore Bills fans have decided they're not going to be buying any more of Bon Jovi's music. So no more purchasing the CD Slippery When Wet, even though nobody buys CDs anymore.
Right. Well, because we don't have a team, and because I really don't care what happens to the Buffalo Bills, here's a number one hit with a bullet from Bon Jovi.
Oh, no.
All
right. Should we make that available in the Phil Hewlett and Friends store?
To show your support for the Bills coming here?
No, just to say, look, we don't have a team. We don't care what happens in Buffalo. We're gonna sell Bon Jovi so many records. He'll buy every NFL team. They'll change the name to
Jay Giles Band.
Well,
that
no.
But what? I mean, what would the
Bon
Buffalo
Jovi
Bills?
L.
What would the Buffalo Bills be called if they moved to LA? What could we call them?
They would still. It's going to cost a lot of money to do that. So I think you call them the Buffalo Dollar Bills.
Hey, it's funny. The fans that put this thing together, they have 10,000 signatures, and they said, we didn't really like Bon Jovi anyway. We were more into hard rock like Metallica and Zeppelin.
What?
Yeah.
It's not what they said.
Trying to disparage them. It is what they said. Yeah. A local band tried to cover Living on a Prayer. They were booed off stage.
We were talking about getting married, and, you know, some people like to go first class for their weddings. Some people don't know how to stay in their first class seat when they're on a plane. And we're going to hear that story and more from Jennifer when we return here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. We're here every weekday afternoon at 2. We thank you for tuning in. Jennifer Bjorklund is here, Jay Capadonia, Chris Martin. They're the friends. And we have, by default, befriended you. Not defriended. Befriended.
Watch
you.
Your language. Yeah.
I know. Just for tuning in. See how fickle we can be?
Speaking of friends, can I just say that I am a fan of Orlando Bloom for punching Justin Bieber?
Oh, you are? Yes.
You friend requested him after
That's
that?
All. Just a little fight, a little bar fight, right?
That's it. Go Orlando. I'm Team Orlando.
Okay, I like that.
Now, wear your T-shirt now.
Exactly.
Team Orlando.
Now, here's a guy that I think we can learn a couple of lessons from. Lessons of what not to do when flying first class. Jennifer, explain.
Important life lessons. His name's Kenji Okamoto. He was flying first class to Hawaii when he gets upset at a flight attendant who wouldn't clear his tray. The guy said, you know, I got my hands full. I'll be right back. So probably you'd just sit there and wait for the next pass, right? Well, not Kenji Okamoto. Oh, no. He got up, went after the flight attendant, and another flight attendant who tried to break it up got punched. The guy threw a roundhouse, apparently.
Wow.
Okamoto apologized, started to cry, even bowing down on his knees, putting his head on the floor. Then he fell asleep, and he was fine for the rest of the flight. Okay, so that's the story. That's what happened. Too bad he's been in federal custody since the flight landed in Honolulu in May, which was supposed to be Kenji Okamoto and his bride's honeymoon.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. He was on his way from Tokyo to Hawaii with his beautiful bride on his honeymoon when all of this happened.
Can she get annulled?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. She can't. She's probably wondering what the heck's going on. This was on the way to the honeymoon. He missed that. He missed the first 2 months of his marriage. Yesterday, he was sentenced to 3 months, most of which he served. So he gets to go home in a couple of weeks back to Tokyo, see if his wife is, you know, speaking to him or if she really is his wife anymore.
Yeah.
The sentence includes a $3,000 fine and a stipulation from the judge that the airline that's willing to take him back to Japan should be notified and asked not to serve him any alcohol.
See? Yes, exactly. It's always the root of evil. And we learn lessons from that, and hopefully Kenji can learn this lesson. Things will work out fine. He'll be able to patch things up with his lovely newlywed bride. He just needs to remember two simple words, Vera Wang.
Yes.
We learned that in the previous segment,
That's
didn't
right.
we? All right. Speaking of the devil, text messages, Jay, are the devil's playground, apparently.
A Catholic priest in Poland claims that the devil will not stop texting him. I'm not even going to attempt the guy's name because it's just like 17 letters.
Too many
long.
Z's
Polish.
And C's and N's.
It's very
and
Polish.
Case,
yeah. But evidently, he's been getting text messages through a teenage girl saying things like, shut up, preacher. You cannot save yourself, preacher. You old idiot, preacher. If you try to get rid of me, I'm going to kill a bunch of people, you dumb old preacher. Things like this, right? So
he thinks that's the devil?
He even went and performed an exorcism on the teenage girl.
How'd that go?
Multiple times he's performed exorcisms, so it's not going
so well.
Very well.
I bet she has an iPhone.
Because the texts are coming through, right?
Oh, she got you on that one.
That's quick.
No,
that's good.
They were rerouted through another IP.
Evidently, the priest is going to continue on his exorcism journey with the girl, and evidently she needs help.
If at once you don't succeed.
Right?
Yeah. Try again.
I just
exactly.
thought it was hilarious.
Now, I wouldn't try this. Walk on an 80-foot bridge with a train track through the center of it, Chris? That's you wouldn't try that, would you?
It's a terrible idea. But the two women did that in Indiana. You got a guy winning millions of dollars in Indiana, and then you have these two ladies. They were trespassing on a set of railroad tracks with a 14,000-ton freight train bearing down on them. They were caught in the middle of a 500-foot trestle, and it's like a straight drop on either side to certain death.
Yep.
So there's this video. It's a pretty short video. You see these two ladies running. They're not in the greatest shape, but they're trying their best to outrun this train. One of the chicks, she runs over to the edge. She looks like she's going to jump. She thinks it's over. The other woman falls down in the middle of the tracks, and the first one goes to pick her up, and she gets hit and knocked over by the train, and the train runs over both of them.
Wow.
So the sheriffs come back. Obviously, they're assuming they're going to be collecting some bodies. But the women survived. They both survived. They fled the scene.
Wow.
How,
see?
How?
Because they have memberships to Curves.
Apparently there's enough room under a train. And if you ever end up on a set of train tracks in that situation, lay down
right.
in the middle.
You'll no, I'm
right,
just,
really
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I've heard of that happening. But
I'm just saying if the ladies were, shall we say, chubby, they would have been dealing with some serious axle burn today.
Yeah, would have been.
Well, trains don't have those cow grates on the front, you know, to get the cattle and the.
No, it's not the 1920s.
They don't have those anymore. Yeah, but trees and other things.
I think they have that low lying thing in the front.
I thought they did.
This one apparently didn't. You got to check out the video. It's on the fun page, the show fun page.
Oh, sounds like lots of fun.
It's about a minute long, and you see it in slow motion.
Yeah, I'm watching it. Oh man, look at that! She does consider dropping off the side for a second. It's crazy stuff, right
there. Is there a Krispy Kreme down there?
Hey, you know what? If you pay $3 for a cup of coffee, that's a 2,900% price markup.
Oh, you're kidding.
2,900% markup, which you could have that Krispy Kreme donut if you like.
Who gets a coffee for as cheap as $3?
Well,
yeah, right.
It's the markup off what you it would cost you if you just made the darn cup of coffee yourself at home for 10 cents.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. One more tidbit of information here for you. The word ye, as in ye old shop,
ye,
is actually pronounced the. In medieval English, people used the Y to abbreviate TH.
The TH. I have heard that, which is funny because when you say ye old, you think, you know, I'm old timey and you really just sound stupid.
Yeah, to the people that know it. Mostly
exactly.
British people.
Right.
Yeah.
To the people from way back when who are blasting to the future to listen to us mocking them.
Right. And, you know, somebody else we need to mock in a hurry. Well, you know, should we mock because there's a death involved, Jay?
I'll mock.
You know what I'm talking about?
I will absolutely mock. Have you guys heard of the ice challenge?
Is that when you lay on a block of ice until your skin tears
off?
The
ice water challenge?
The ice water challenge, right? It's this thing flowing around social media where you sit down and somebody dumps. You call out a friend and you say, hey, look, if I call Phil Hewlett out and I say, Phil, you have 24 hours to do the ice water challenge. And if you don't do it, you have to pay $100 to charity. And then somebody dumps a bucket of ice water on top of me.
Yeah.
And then you have 24 hours to do it. And you keep it going and it grows and grows and grows.
Right.
The newest fad on social media is now called the Fire Challenge.
Oh, no.
And I'm not kidding you. This is actually growing, and more videos are popping up all over the place. Guys are going into the shower, pouring an accelerant of some kind, rubbing alcohol, whatever they want, and then lighting themselves on fire and standing there as long as they can take it until they have to turn into the shower head and it'll douse the flames.
That does not sound like a good plan to me.
Moronic. Yeah. So, somebody has actually, there's reports that a 15-year-old has died trying the fire challenge.
And what do they video this and then they post the videos?
Exactly. So, it's like, you think the ice water challenge is tough. How about the fire challenge, homie?
Not a good plan.
I gotta be honest, it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Dumbest thing I've ever seen.
I'd just donate the $100.
Hey, Jen.
Like, all right.
Right.
Can you in about 20 seconds tell me about the dumb kids at your school?
At me?
The radio station at the school you went to? The college radio station.
Oh, you know, this is a terrible story. It's happening at Cal Poly Radio. They were doing a fundraiser, and they were sending Snapchat pictures of their wieners, apparently, to raise money. So, yeah, they're in trouble.
Did they raise any money?
I don't know. I have to follow up on that.
Raise?
I do know that their FCC license is in jeopardy, and I feel terrible because this is the station where I got all my training.
Wow. We're going to have to find out more about that training. Perhaps we'll do that next. When we talk about the best beaches in the United States with our travel guy here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends, and the answer to the question is $20. Is that right, Jennifer?
Yeah. I did a little reading up on this this college radio fundraiser and found out that one person did donate the $20 to get the sexy Snapchats of the DJs, and the money was later returned because
these are college
kids. Fundraiser. Yeah, the fundraiser was not sanctioned by the university.
Yeah, they're getting out of there in a hurry.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And sometimes you just want to get away. You want to go to the beach, put your toes in the sand, maybe go for a swim.
That's what I'll be doing for the next week.
Go surfing, something like that. We want to find out if our local beaches are the best. I've always believed that our local beaches are the best. Of course, I grew up out here, local guy. Let's find out which beaches rule supreme in the latest ranking of U.S. beaches. Joining us live now is our travel guy, Gary Warner. Gary.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You got your sandals on, your Bermuda shorts, the whole thing ready to go?
Yeah, but I'm going to keep my wiener, you know. No fundraising down here.
No clothing optional for you today.
I think wiener things are good for radio. Wiener fundraisers are good for radio, perhaps.
Yeah, not for the beach and
not for the beach.
No freeing Willy at the beach.
No free Willy. Now we're talking. Who compiled this list?
Well, there's a guy there's a lot of best beaches lists, but the granddaddy is this one that's put out by Dr. Stephen Leatherman. He's a oceanography professor in Florida, and he's had his list that he puts out under the name Dr. Beach since 1991, in which he names the best beach in the United States. And so, you know, this is, of course, a big, you know, thing for the tourist folks, and people flock to the best beaches and have a grand old time.
Well, what does he use, before you reveal, what does he use for criteria? What makes a good beach?
He has, you know, because he's a scientist, he has a series of, I think it's like 50-some measurements of water purity, days of sunshine, amenities, crowding, the quality of the sand, and he feeds this all into, you know, I guess they have computers down in Florida, and comes up with the ranking.
Yeah, see, LA is not going to do well in this at all.
Well, you know what? We have amenities.
Wait,
we do.
As far as the clarity of the water and the crowding and traffic.
Well, there you go.
Quality of the sand.
That's where we're kind of going on this thing, which is basically there's two secrets that I rag on this every year. Every year this thing is announced. And I think it's the Discovery Channel has it on in the morning and announces what is the best beach. NBC used to do it on the Today Show. Big deal and everything like that. But there's two problems. Problem number one is that the good doctor, after naming a beach the best beach in America, then removes it from future consideration. So that would mean that the best beach today is maybe not even the best beach in the state. It might be not even the best beach in the neighborhood because this guy's been doing it since 1991.
What kind of science is that?
That's terrible science. That means that all the top beaches can't be considered, so it's the best of the worst now.
That's right. Out of the first 10, it was pretty much all Hawaii and Florida.
Oh, come on.
And now it's getting run, you know, now they're getting the places like Cooper's Beach, New York, and Lifeguard Beach in North Carolina.
You know what?
Stinson.
How do you compete with Hawaii? Hawaii shouldn't even be on the list.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I mean, right? Hawaii, I got to tell you, you know, I have no problem. I have no problem at all with, like, the first 10 years
yeah,
of the
it's,
list.
It's a different category.
Just wonderful. Wailea Beach, Poipu.
All right, so is Hawaii number one on the list then?
Hawaii overall is number one on the list, although they run through most of their beaches, except that this year they have the number one beach in the United States, and that's the Duke Cay or Duke Kahanamoku beach that's right in front of the Hilton in Waikiki.
No.
It's the number one beach.
No, worst. See, this is the when I go to Hawaii or when I go on vacation, I don't want people.
Right.
I don't want crowds.
Go to Big Beach. Go to McKenna Beach on Maui. Yep. And then you can be naked if you go on the other side.
Yes.
Yeah.
Over to Little Beach.
Because
I think why they call it Little Beach because it's
right.
The less for me, the less amenities there are at a beach, the better it is. The more pristine the beach is, the better it is. So when you go in, like, Southern California, for instance, in the South Bay, everybody who comes here from elsewhere says, look, South Bay beaches, the avenues, Redondo Pier, Hermosa Beach, Manhattan, tourist beaches, right? Venice,
right.
Santa Monica, tourist beaches. Yeah, but you go a little bit south of Torrance Beach, right to the edge before it becomes Palos Verdes, and you have Rats Beach. You don't see any houses. You see a cliff. You have sand.
Right.
You have rocks. You have waves. And you have a little shack for a bathroom and a trail that gets you down
a
to the sand.
Surf spot down there, yeah.
To me,
that's
a beautiful beach because there's nothing there.
Yeah.
There isn't. I don't think they even have a lifeguard tower there.
Well, and it's a matter of the proximity for the most number of people, too. I mean, a lot of these beaches that are on these lists are like these state beaches down in the Keys in Florida. You have to drive forever and then get a $10 pass to get on there. And it's gorgeous. That's why, to a degree, something like Waikiki and Duke Cay Beach is good because it's the first of the really big urban beaches that has gotten a vote. And I will tell you, that stretch of Waikiki is the finest beach all the way around, except for maybe Sanssouci Beach up by Diamond Head.
Except there are about 3,000 to 30,000 people there on any given day.
That's right.
There's a reason for that. It's because it's a great beach.
But if you drive toward the North Shore, you don't go to the North Shore. You stop about halfway through in a little town with too many A's in it, Ka'ava. It's got four A's, a K and a V. And right just a little before you get to the sign that says, "Welcome to Ka'ava," there's a little beach there with one guy with a fishing reel. And perfect white sand.
Oh yeah!
And you look up behind it, and it's that that cavity in the island where the Tora Tora planes from Japan came through on their way to Pearl Harbor.
Right.
And right there, that beach is a pristine, beautiful beach, and there's nothing around it.
Well, stop talking about it, Phil, because now everybody's going to go. Thanks a lot.
Well, the problem is
getting in their cars from Waikiki and driving over there.
It's great to go to those North Shore beaches in the summer because they're flat as a pancake. But if you're taking a winter break and you go up to the North Shore beaches, it's going to be, 20-foot tall waves knocking you down.
Yeah.
But I wanted to get back to the California thing for a minute.
Yes, please.
During this whole time, 1991 to today, so that's what, 13, help me with my math here. 23 years? 23 years.
16th century.
It's a really long time ago.
One beach in California has been named number one.
What, Santa Cruz?
And no.
Santa Barbara?
Nope. Good choices.
Beacons.
Coronado.
Coronado, of course.
And what's weird about these beaches, and I did a story a while ago called "Going Swimming at the Best Beach of 2013 in 2012," because what Dr. Beach does is basically, the beach gets named, and then he takes it off the list, and usually the beach that's right underneath it moves up. So, you're the bridesmaid, and then you're the bride. Every now and then, he'll throw a little twist in, something like that, so you can kind of tell where the next beach is going to be down the line. But you know, all these beaches are great, and I do want to get back. One thing I want to say about Dr. Leatherman, because we kind of got off base there a little bit, is he's part of a group that is advocating clean beaches and clean water. So his idea is basically, if he came back and every week, every year said Waimea Bay or Waimea Beach, Wailea Beach, the one we just talked about, Big Beach, which won in 1999, is the best beach in the country, people would stop listening. But if he can kind of move things around and bring in new beaches, maybe show people some good beaches in Massachusetts or in New York or something like that, that's his idea, that basically he's advocating these governments to clean up their act.
I say,
In California, that's impossible, because basically you look at the famous beaches, you look at Doheny, you look at up in Malibu, you look at Santa Monica, you know, you look out at Catalina, they're all just heavily polluted. And
the storm drains, man. They just,
Well, all right, fine. And if you're going to go to a San Diego beach, you want to see a real nice one? Lucadia Beach.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Just above Black's Beach, which is a nude beach.
Nude beach. What you guys know all the nude beaches here.
Right. But Lucadia is not a nude beach. But you walk down a trail, and there's a little thing made out of palm fronds where you could sit under there like a little gazebo. And other than that, it's white sand and perfect blue water, and the waves are gorgeous in the summer. It's a great little beach.
That 101 stretch, Highway 101 between Camp Pendleton and San Diego, is one of the best places in Southern California that a lot of people don't know about. Lucadia, Encinitas, all that area. Great spot.
Beautiful stuff. Always great to talk with you, Gary Warner. Where are you headed next week?
Well, you know, I'm starting to look for the fall and what I want to go do for leaf peeping this year, and whether I want to do multicolors like in the east, or whether I want to do the aspens up in Colorado, drive up there. So I'm starting to look at the weather reports. You know, it's a science on all these things. See what's going
to
go.
All right, doctor. We will talk to you next week. Thanks
you
a lot.
You take care. Okay, guys. Have fun. Bye.
There he goes, off to the beach. It's Gary Warner. You guys agree with that? You guys are beach people, right?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with Redondo as far as I'm concerned.
It's fine.
I wonder where Oregon ended up on the list.
You know, some good beaches in Oregon.
I bet there probably is.
Beautiful beaches, but just freezing cold water and not as many clear days.
Lincoln
so that knocks them off the list.
Yeah.
You know, with the sunny, clear days.
It does. They've got that weird seaweed up there. The one that's they look like snakes. And they're like 40 feet long with a big ball on the end. You know the ones I'm talking about?
They're really, really, really fun to play with when you're a little kid, though.
Yeah. You whip them around.
Yeah.
You could do some damage, hurt somebody. Hey, you know what? While we're talking about the beach, you know, it's hot out. It's sweaty out. What do you wear to work? Our fashion expert will learn you a thing or two next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends here on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. As we see it with Phil Hewlett and Friends here on KFWB News Talk 980, we have a website, philhewlettandfriends.com. Poke around. There's a store in there. Many of our guests have books. All of those books are available in the store. Also, we have the show fun page and the links page. You don't want to miss any of that. And we're going to introduce you to a link during the course of this conversation. And when it gets hot outside, what is appropriate to wear at work without making the boss mad? Don't want to make the boss mad. Joining us live is Dress for Success expert Bobby Schwartz. Bobby, nice to talk with you once again.
Likewise, Phil. Thanks a lot. Nice to be back.
You're welcome. You made a big splash last time, and I completely burned my wardrobe and started over again. All right.
Confidence.
You want to, when you go to work, you want to look confident, but you also want to be compliant with the expectations of the attire police in the office. So where do we start?
You know, in my mind, especially if you are part of a workforce that's professionally dressed, the easiest way, and I tell people this all the time, is buy one weight of fabric. So if you've got to be dressed in a suit, there's not a whole lot you're going to be able to do about it. You've still got to show up in that suit. But if your entire wardrobe really consists of tropical weight fabrics, these are super, super light. Wool actually does breathe well. And, of course, you can, you know, let go of the jacket once you're, you know, you're seated at your desk. But your under part, you know, whether if you're a guy, of course, you guys are just, you know, what are you going to do? It's a uniform.
Yeah.
You're going to have on your shirt, and you've probably got to have a tie on, so there's not a whole lot you can do except roll your sleeves up and wear a lighter weight suit.
Yeah, you've got to have an undershirt, too, right? You don't want to have the see-through look, do you?
Oh, that's just scary, yes. That's just scary.
That's good.
But if you're a woman, you know, likewise, you've still got to be dressed in your suit, but the deal is that you've got what I refer to for women, an underpinning, which is just some sort of knit top that goes underneath your jacket. You can almost go for, there's a fabric called mercerized cotton, and that fabric will outlive any human being. It's been boiled before it's ever woven, and it has a really fine, refined texture to it and look, so it looks expensive, and it generally is a little bit more pricey.
What's it called again?
Mercerized cotton.
Oh.
And they actually, I know Ralph Lauren Collection does them for men, too, and maybe other designers do as well. The problem is you can't show up unless you're trying to channel Don Johnson from a long, long time ago with a T-shirt under your suit.
It sounds expensive, though.
Right.
Well, you know, they're not that pricey. They're just, you know, like, for instance, Ralph Lauren, I think the ladies' T-shirts would be $138. So, you know, after a while, I realize I live in a world where, you know, you get immune to, you know, pricing, and $138 didn't sound that bad. But
for a T-shirt? I'm a woman, and that sounds like a lot for a T-shirt.
Oh, but it's a T-shirt that's going to live longer than you.
Oh.
I can promise you, you can wash them, you can do whatever you want to them. They don't change shape, they don't change texture. If it's white, it stays white. If it's black,
it's... Yeah, so the whole thing, like buying a real nice pair of shoes as opposed to a whole bunch of cheap shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So shorts, sandals, always out, right?
Yes, they really are. I mean, I get, even in the casual workplace, it's hot, but I don't know any employers that don't have air conditioning in their building. So
wait a second.
Hold on now. The air conditioning is a problem because it's that hot day conundrum. You can dress for the weather, get to your office, and freeze to death because the air conditioning is colder on hot days when you're dressed for the weather.
No, it's absolutely the truth. And so, you know, it's not a huge issue. If you're one of those people that's in and out of the office and in and out of the car a lot, then you do have some things to contend with. And
but then don't you want to go
five different layers.
Don't you want to go with a fabric like silk then? Because doesn't silk kind of adjust to the climate and your body temperature and that sort of thing?
No.
I was making that up.
Stuck to you, Phil.
I was making it up.
You did make that one up.
Well, no, because, you know, you go to the camping store and they sell the silk underwear to go up to, and it sounds like it's not like silk lace stuff.
They sell you that underwear to keep warm.
Yes, to keep warm, but doesn't it keep you cool as well?
No, and it does not.
All right.
So how about fishnets, Bobby? Because I know that when I wear my fishnet, I feel like my body really breathes.
You know, I bet it does.
Yeah.
I bet it does.
Right. Okay. Now, on the other side, if you have a cheap boss who keeps the thermostat at 79, what's a great thing to wear that, I don't know, do you need something that wicks the perspiration?
Yeah, well, practically you're going to if that's the case. But, I mean, everybody's in there going to be dying. I mean...
But you want to be the one employee who looks cool all the time.
All the time. And so, you know, gentlemen, there's no escape for you. You're just going to sweat. And 79 degrees to a man is way worse than 79 degrees to a woman.
Yeah.
We're almost in our comfort zone at that point.
But hello, hot flashes.
For the women.
Yeah, right.
Say what?
She's saying hot flashes.
Yeah, no kidding. Premature. For the women, they can do, you know, a nicely done T-shirt that's more fitted or a knit of some sort that's short-sleeved. You know, put it under the jacket and then just lose the jacket.
Wait, may I just say, ladies, go easy on the summer dresses because, you know, you really don't want to be too revealing in the office. Isn't that right,
dare
Bobby?
You, Phil?
No, you don't want to get me down that path because that's
what is wrong with you?
There's no skimpiness. I know you all are, you know, you guys are all about the visual.
Yeah.
But it's just the wrong message.
I'm trying to be professional here. That's why I brought it up in that respect.
That was a very diplomatic way to put it. But, you know, the skirts need to be, you know, at the knee. You're not in there hoochie momming it during the day unless you're looking to sleep with the boss.
Yeah.
And that you're on your own agenda.
That's a store at the mall, by the way, Hoochie Mamas.
Oh, is there a store called that?
They've got several different names, but they all go by the code name, Hoochie Mamas.
Hoochie Mamas, okay. Yeah.
Otherwise known as Forever 21.
Got it.
No. You could get some tasteful things there.
Really good jeans and some of their stuff isn't totally hooch. You just have to
know how to shop.
Right.
Right.
In fact, that's a great name for – I'm opening up my mall shop. It'll be called Totally Hooch.
Totally Hooch.
Okay, and every
guy like
on the planet will be in there.
You have a website.
I do.
Where you probably can't get anything hoochy. It's called BeIconicStyle.com?
It is. It's a member site. My mission is to help, you know, women as much as I can. Most women, a personal stylist is not in their budget, and so I built this we've got a team, but I built it, and it's my stuff, to make me accessible for people, for women. We teach about dressing for business. We have got the most extraordinary makeup artist on there, and we talk about how to dress for body type, color, blah, 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 traveling, whatever, and then we actually have shopping. So that they can see what I have selected for my own clients and click and shop.
All right, and so you have a special offer for our listeners right now,
I
don't you?
I do, because I absolutely do that for the next. Actually, it's just good. We're going to offer the offer for 6 months. If they buy a membership, they get 30% off, and they have a KFWB coupon. They just need to go to your website and click on the link, and off they go.
The link is on our links page right now at philhewlettandfriends.com. And Bobby Schwartz, a pleasure to speak with you. I'm going to go right out and buy a pair of Bobby Schwartz and go to work with them tomorrow.
don't laugh. I once had a couple was standing at the airport, and the wife was on the phone. A gentleman came up and said, "Are her boots Jimmy Choo?" to the husband. And he said, "No, Bobby Schwartz."
Nicely done. Bobby, thank you very much. She is the Dress for Success expert. And again, look for the link on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. Send your comments, email, feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Brooke Peterson is our producer, production assistant, Nick Wright. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Capadonia, who's headed out on vacation for about a week. And Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.